This is Up Your Brave on Reality Check Radio, Fridays, 10 a.m.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Up Your Brave show. This is your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, where it's all about courage, confidence, community, and connection. And this week, we are talking about wellness, not just wellness. We're talking about empowered wellness. And I'm so thrilled to have my guest here today. John Coombs is here. He is from the Global Health Clinic. And I'm so excited to have you here, John. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, this is a great topic and this is a great time, time of year, but also time in history, really, to hone in and remind people that they are the CEO of their own life and to focus on proactive health, which I know is what you're all about. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what are the things that you are really focusing on right now helping people with?
Well, we're helping people with all sorts of diseases. Anxiety is the big one. Fatigue is a big one. And they're easy to treat. They're really, really easy. They're both symptoms, not diseases. And we try to get to the root cause of what's troubling people. A lot of it could be emotions and overwhelmed life. Well, it's just because their nutrient levels are very poor or they're not digesting their food very well. So we run a series of tests, from live blood tests where they can actually see their own blood on a screen and see why it's not functioning particularly well, through to epigenetics tests, which we're using very advanced technology to discover a whole host of things from nutrients through to emotions, electrical sensitivity, pathogens, toxins. We're testing for 800 issues in one test. So this is very, very advanced technology using spectrometry, through to aura scans, so like biofield scans, thyroid tests. So we invest a lot of money in technology and we try to get to the root cause in the first session as much as we possibly can. And then we can focus our energy on solutions. So in most cases, because we deal with a lot of really serious health cases, they're complicated, they cost a lot of money, they take a lot of time. We focus more on the preventative aspects and helping people just build a good life. As you said, this is an amazing time in history. We've got technology, we've got opportunities to travel and learn from each other and communicate easily. We should be thriving, and yet in many cases people aren't, and there are good reasons why. But if we want to build a better world, we've got to be better people ourselves and be the change. And that's just a big part of my life, is if you want a better world, be a better person.
I think you're right. I think a lot of our most of our listeners, they do want a better world. I mean, not just for themselves, not just better health and better working conditions or whatever, but creating a better world. I know that you've obviously been in the health space for many, many years. You can let us know how many. Let's talk about, you know, this concept of looking at the whole person versus symptoms. I think one of the things that more people are doing is, rather than rushing off to the doctor, where they focus just on whatever, the sore throat or the sore elbow, what I like, the holistic side of health, where we're looking at the whole body. So what does that mean, the whole person versus the symptoms?
Well, a symptom is just a side effect of things that have gone wrong in your life. So from poor digestion to poor circulation, poor immunity, low hormone responses, etc. The whole person is, you know, mind, body, soul. And we've had quantum physics now for nearly 100 years. We've had Albert Einstein's E equals MC squared for 118 years. This is advanced science that applies to biology just as much as applies to anything outside of biology, and yet we don't incorporate that into our understanding of biological systems. I mean, we all understand at school that photosynthesis exists, but we don't understand that we photosynthesize. So we really need to incorporate really high-quality science into the work we're doing around the whole person. Understand a soul is not a physical process. A mind is not a physical process, but they relate to physical process. We call it a body. So if we try to divorce our soul from our body, it's unlikely we're going to be particularly well or particularly happy. If we don't understand the importance of our mind to our body, it's not going to respond particularly well to what our mind's trying to achieve. And it's the same with emotions. I mean, many people have said for many years now, 80% of disease is emotional issues. But most people don't want to invest in their emotional health and they're not altogether sure how to do so, where to start and how to get to where they want to be.
Is there something that if someone's listening and they think, yeah, that's true, I haven't really like allowed my emotions to be processed. I've just been shoving them down or something. Is there any guidance you can give our listeners right now that they can do proactively around the emotional side of things, which will obviously impact their health?
Well, there's a big modern field out there called mindfulness, but mindfulness has been around for thousands of years through different disciplines, through all continents. But it's now becoming something that's a word that's easier for people to use and maybe meditation, because a lot of people can't meditate very easily. Might take 20 years to learn to be a competent meditator. But a lot of the mindfulness program just starting off with the sort of the beginning of that. And we know from a lot of the work we use using crystallography, which is made very famous by a guy called Masaru Emoto, where people can look at the effect of emotions on water once you've frozen the water. And then you find out the shape of frozen water that's responded to healthy emotions is exactly the same shape as a nucleotide which builds DNA, or a sugar molecule, or an amino acid. And it's the same every single time, because water is a perfect neutral receptacle of information, chemical, emotional, mental, or what we might want to call spiritual information. So by freezing ice, you can see that very, very quickly. Ice, that water becomes blood. Blood becomes a body. And so this is just perfect cause and effect. So mindfulness, we can easily see with crystallography, which is just freezing water that's been influenced by positive or so-called negative emotions. And there's so much difference in the shape of that structure of the ice. Well, that water is building our bodies. It's nearly 99% of the molecules in our body are water. Only about 70% of the mass of our body, but these are tiny molecules with only 10 protons that build really big, complicated molecules called DNA, which might have 10 billion protons. Now, you need a heck of a lot of water to make just one DNA molecule. And that water hasn't been responded to well through emotional processes, it's not going to build healthy DNA. And that's what epigenetics is all about. What happens beyond the level of the genetic reproduction system. In other words, healthy epigenetics would lead to healthy genetics, and genes just reproduce. They're not what cause disease. They have something happen to them which causes them to not express themselves particularly well and to keep reproducing something that's not working well. So emotions are the thing that influence water more than anything else. According to Konstantin Korotov, who's a Russian scientist who spent 40 years studying water. But because he's a physicist, he hasn't just studied water, he studied light, he studied electrons, he studied a whole range of physics phenomena. And because water is the most important chemical in biology, as in all biology, then obviously that's the first place you'd want to know, how does water work? So New Zealand's very lucky. We've got somebody called Vader Austin doing some amazing crystallography work, which has taken the work of Masaru Emoto a step further.
I think you made a great point there about there's so many Kiwis doing amazing things in the health and wellness space. It's amazing. And a lot of the times where people are thinking, well, why have I not heard of, you know, ozone therapy, or why have I not heard of epigenetics, or why have I not heard of crystallography? I mean, my view, you might have an alternate view, and that's fine. My view is that a lot of these modalities have actually been quashed and squashed through the years, as people are just directed towards more quote unquote mainstream medical options. But I think that's really changing. I think there's a lack of trust to a certain extent now off the back of the last 3 years, and people are more open than ever towards holistic options, but also looking at themselves and the power of the own body. And I know you're big on that too. Like, we are so much more powerful than we realize, right?
So much more powerful. No comparison to what people believe they could be and what they truly can be. A lot of people, New Zealand's a country where people have been sort of encouraged to play it small, as opposed to, say, countries like America, they're encouraged to play it big. It's not good for us. It's not good for ourselves. It's not good for us as human beings. It's not good for our cultures and our communities. So again, going back to, you know, there's another saying that I really like: we are the ones we've been waiting for. If we're not ready to step up, life won't step up for us. And, you know, Isaac Newton wrote a formula about for every action, there's equal opposite reaction. Well, thousands of years before that, in the Vedic tradition, they had systems of karma. All Isaac Newton's done is define karma in a slightly different way. For every action, there's an equal opposite reaction. And as I discussed about water, water is this perfect neutral substance that biology is built upon, and it's like a receptacle for biology. So whatever we put into water, whether it's a thought, an emotion, or chemicals, it will express perfectly every single time. That sets us up to be successful beyond our wildest dreams, or it sets us up also to fail if we don't understand that what we put into water will come out the other end as our life. So whether it's our thoughts, whether it's our emotions, or whether it's the chemicals we put into our gut, mm-hmm. or even if we're not breathing effectively, that the air that's going into our gut to mix together with our food is not going to build decent blood.
Well, I'm going to do a whole show all about breathing in the future because it's something I'm pretty passionate about, definitely. I would love to ask you about a little bit more about ozone therapy because I don't know what that is. What ozone, is it? Why would we do it?
Well, ozone is sometimes called the God molecule. If you think of the three most important things for life, light, which is photosynthesis, and light from the sun, and life evolves around that. Electrons, which is electricity or energy, and oxygen, which is the biggest part of water. Ozone is actually two of those joined together, which is electricity and oxygen, to make this unstable molecule called ozone, which is incredibly good at sucking up toxic waste from our body or nature. It's incredibly good at killing pathogens, hundreds of times more effective than bleach or pesticides or chemotherapies. And when it breaks back down because it's unstable, it releases light. So if you go back to those three main issues of light, electrons, and oxygen, ozone incorporates all of them. We have a number of different ways we help people with this. Because of some of the issues around medical regulatory issues, we're not doing the stuff we'd most want to do. We just play it a little bit safe. But we use ozone into skin, or we use rectal ozone, which is going into the gut, which is like another lung. And that is incredibly good for feeding the microflora in your gut, the healthy flora, which relies on oxygen, and killing the unhealthy flora in your gut, which is these are cells or organisms that actually feed on fermenting sugar. They're called anaerobic pathogens. So all the pathogens in our body are anaerobic, and all the healthy cells are aerobic. So because oxygen's the most potent, ozone's the most potent form of oxygen, by taking that into your body, as it breaks down into oxygen to feed our body and releases electrons, which feeds our nervous system and the electrical system in our body, and it releases light. And people probably don't know, but DNA absorbs light. So enlightenment, which we would call the highest level of evolution, is actually a physiological process, not just a spiritual related process. So people who want to be enlightened have to be strong, or their body won't be able to handle the amount of electricity involved in enlightenment. So it keeps coming back to, you know, mind, body, soul, and we want to activate the highest level of our soul, which is expression through a personality as an enlightened being. We've got to be robust. We've got to be resilient. We've got to be strong. And we need enough oxygen in our body. We need enough electricity to feed our nervous system. And in both cases, that can come from ozone. Now, we all know we feel, on average, better if we go to the beach, we go to the mountains, we go to the forest. One of the main reasons for that, those are places high in ozone. Mm. So, again, ozone is just a combination of electricity and oxygen bonded together, which breaks down because it's naturally unstable and releases electricity, which is energy, and releases oxygen, which is another form of energy.
Okay, so someone could go get a treatment, but they could also go and spend more time, like you said, in nature to get some of that ozone.
But for people who run down and time starts and whatnot, think something like an ozone sauna, which I've done hundreds of these over the years. I mean, they are just a very quick way in half an hour, sealing yourself in a capsule, putting ozone in through your skin under heat, getting some infrared treatment at the same time. And
okay, because I didn't realize it was a sauna, and I was going to ask you, you've just mentioned it, infrared sauna, I feel like they're kind of getting trendy at the moment. Is that the same thing as ozone therapy?
No. Most infrared saunas are just infrared saunas. This is a very high-tech, like seriously high-tech piece of equipment called a HOCAT, which incorporates infrared steam sauna, but it also incorporates ozone, special light frequencies, and microcurrents that were developed by a guy called Royal Rife, or Rife Therapy. So in this particular case, we've got about 120 different Rife frequencies that we can help to stimulate people, whether it be their adrenal glands, their hormones, malabsorption of foods, killing pathogens. So Rife or microcurrent therapy is just a form of energy medicine or frequency medicine where people have figured out the healthy frequencies for life. Mm-hmm. And those on average will be unhealthy for pathogens.
So all right. I think already so far, you know, in this interview, we've mentioned quite a few, I would say, buzzwords, but also modalities that some people like wouldn't have heard of. So I think I'm just trying to ask the questions that some people would ask, which is genuinely asking, what is ozone therapy? So this is really cool. You're opening our eyes to some things that are out there already. I did want to ask you, so I'll do that now, about other technologies, because I feel like there probably are a lot of modalities or technologies that people that already exist that people have no idea about, and also some more coming up. So can you comment on that? What is out there that we might not know about? What is coming up?
Well, we've got technology like PEMF mats, which is pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. These are really good for circulation, relieving pain, stimulating, stimulating the nervous system in a healthy way. You just lie on this and it helps you to oxygenate your body more effectively. We've got a whole range of different light therapies. Bioptron light's one of them, with different light frequencies that will stimulate different parts of the body and different organs and whatnot. We've got something called an Ajna light, which will stimulate the Ajna center or the pineal gland. Most of us know our pineal gland can easily be affected by things like toxins, halide toxins like fluoride and chlorine and bromide, or by EMF, the wrong types of EMF, like harmful EMF signals.
Electromagnetic frequencies.
So things like Wi-Fi and cell phone frequencies aren't healthy for biology. And those tests have been done over and over and over again. And we test for this with our epigenetics test. But probably 45% of the people we are dealing with have an electrical hypersensitivity. In other words, they are highly sensitive to a lot of the EMFs, man-made EMFs that aren't symbiotic with healthy biology. Now, there's a disruptive thing. Microbiome is just disruptive for their nervous system. So we use a system called the Ajna lights that flicker light at healthy frequencies that are healthy for our brain and healthy for our cells, and we flicker that over the brow. People shut their eyes and they will get, it's like a brain gym, a high-tech sort of brain gym, and it helps to decalcify the pineal gland and open up the pineal gland to help us improve our insight or our intuition. Because our pineal gland can easily calcify, which means like a seashell grows around the pineal gland, it's not functioning properly. Very few people's pineal glands work that well. We've got another technology we've been using for 10 years now, which is a biofield viewer or an aura scan. So we take a photograph of your aura, and people who've got an awakened Ajna center or third eye, you can actually see it. It radiates light out of their brow. So probably one in five people have done some serious work around their brow or their Ajna center, and you can actually visibly see it. I could easily show you pictures of monks who've spent 20, 30, 40 years meditating. You just see straight away this big green, golden light shining out of their brow under an aura scan. Doesn't mean to say they're healthy in their whole body, but it just means that that side of their nature has been very well developed. They've purified and they've learned to manage their mind particularly well. There's one image I've got that I show a lot of our clients. This guy's got bad gums and he gets sinus infection. You can see that in a split second from an aura scan. So he needs to fix his gums and he needs to fix his sinus issues. And he looks like he gets migraines, but he has a beautifully developed Ajna center. Well, people have talked about the third eye for thousands and thousands of years. It's now becoming more popular again in the Western world as people start to study yoga and qigong and things like that. a lot of people haven't been taught how to actually activate that so our intuition works well. Because that's much higher levels of consciousness and much higher levels of accelerated learning by using our pineal gland well.
I think you're right. I think people are more and more interested in what the pineal gland is, how do they get it to function better. I think one of the ways I know of is filtering your water to filter out so it doesn't, you don't calcify. So that would be getting rid of the fluoride and possibly other, who knows what's in the water.
It's really hard to get rid of without damaging the water. That's the crazy thing about it. Probably we're better to drink water that hasn't been fluoridated in the first place, because you use Kangen and all sorts of other filters, but you're altering the water by doing that. And I'm not anti-Kangens at all. We've got Kangens and we've been doing this sort of stuff for a long, long time now.
Kangens and Berkeys.
Yeah, and all these, ionized water systems. But the key is spring water tends to not have that in the first place.
Yeah, and I do have friends that go and buy their water from huckleberries and things. So is that what you're talking about, spring water, active water?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you something. You mentioned about the flickering light, and that treatment sounded really cool. Made me think of LED lights in kids' bedrooms, which have become super trendy from Kmart. Are those really bad?
I don't know, because I don't know what they're selling. But the flickering lights we're talking about is special. It's called brainwave entrainment. So if you think about the brain is going the whole time. The brain never stops. Deep sleep is called delta phase sleep. And that's where the brain's running at about less than 3 hertz. Dream phase sleep or hypnotic state or trance state is between about 3 hertz and 8 hertz. So that's cycles per second of the brain. That's when we can accelerate learn. That's where children under the age of 7 are mainly functioning. So they can't do maths very easily. They can't read and write very easily. They can dream incredibly well and dream their future. The problem is from 7 onwards, we start to lose some of that unless we're encouraged, properly encouraged and train ourselves. And so we become slower at learning once we go out of that theta state as a natural state. And that's why meditation is so important. You can put yourself back into theta or back into delta, or even play around with your brain waves with consciousness. But these flickering lights that we use have special programs, and it's about brainwave and train, put the brain to certain states in which you can achieve things. So you get a lot of aha moments under these archer lights with brainwave entrainment. And we had a whole host of people, and Joe Rogan featured on one of his podcasts about 3 years ago. A whole lot of young people came along that wouldn't have normally come to see us, and they want to try the archer lights. Other people, now these things help through the pineal gland for you to grow your own DMT. DMT is a big thing out there at the moment, and that's also sometimes called the God molecule. It's a very complicated molecule that helps.
What is the acronym for?
DMT, dimethyltryptamine.
Okay.
From memory. And it's just a complicated molecule that's extremely good for our brain. The problem is people often use the wrong doses. And I don't know about the legal status of this at the moment, but that's why a lot of people are doing ayahuasca, for example. The problem is when you take something in your stomach, you don't know what doses you're taking necessarily, and then once it's in the stomach, it's not that easy to get out. So what we prefer to try and do is use light to stimulate the body's natural functions. And a lot of what we're about doing is not people not taking drugs, but taking natural nutrients that help the body grow things like steroids or grow things like DMT or grow more effective adrenaline or grow better hormones, healthier hormones, not have to take artificial stuff to increase supply in the body, but actually grow it yourself. And that's what a body's designed to do, grow into something of high potentiality once you work out how to do it with the right attitude, the right lifestyle.
Yeah, I think, the other thing that I wanted to chat about is I do feel like, the wellness health industry is really going through a massive transformation itself. It's like, you've been doing this for years and years. It's, it's awesome. But it's like, now people are starting to question things, starting to take ownership of their own health and wellness, which is awesome. And also, I would hope, some traditional doctors and practitioners are wanting to seek out new skills and to upskill. Are you finding that as well?
Yeah, we are, and we're starting training of that. I mean, we have a lot of people reach out to us to sort of us to help them with their clients, and that's what we do. And then we send them back to, these people will be skillful in certain areas, but not have some of the technology or some of the experience that we have. So we're in the process of starting some education programs. I mean, one of my main colleagues has been teaching for 30 years, teaching the mind management field and things like multiple brain integration, NLP, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to do some of these training programs for people that are wanting to upskill, because if you're skilled for nutrition, doesn't mean to say you know much about mind-body management or ozone or even oxygen mm-hmm. or light therapy or frequency medicine. So none of us stop learning in our life. The problem is often the more qualified we are, the more reductionist we become, mm-hmm. as opposed to the more holistic thinking we become. And unfortunately, New Zealand, the way the funding of education is, it's forcing a lot of the tertiary education establishment to become more reductionist so it can be monitored what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the opposite of what people need. When I was a kid, the top students before I went to high school studied classics, which was a whole systems approach to their...
What city did you grow up in?
Sorry?
What city did you grow up in?
I grew up in Auckland.
Yep.
But I was the very first year where we studied new science.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school and we were the pioneers of the so-called new science. But before that, the top students studied classics, which was a much more holistic approach to life, because classics is all about archetypes. Math is all about archetypes. Real science is all about archetypes, not reductionism. So we all belong to various archetypes, you know. An archetype of human beings is a male and a female. There's an archetype. So, you know, that divides the species in half. But then you'll have your leaders, you'll have your followers, you'll have your devotees, you'll have your artists, you'll have your scientists. I mean, you'll have your administrators. They're all archetypal types of people.
Right.
What classics, when you know the key to the knowledge, it teaches you about the whole systems of how life's evolved. What sciences tend to do in especially over the last 50 years, has become more reductionist. So a chemist will just mainly study years and years of chemistry, but not physics and maths. When in actual fact, true science means understanding, you should be studying all of these sciences. Maths is the purest science because it's a universal language. Physics is the second purest. Chemistry is quite a long way down the list, and biology is further down. So if you study biology but you haven't studied physics, you haven't really studied the real nature of biology. And most biologists don't like studying physics because it's pretty badly taught. So part of what needs to happen is science needs to be taught in a way that's far more interesting and far more relevant to people, not blackboard science, but science that applies to real people and real circumstances, and get it out of the theoretical and introduce it to people in a way that's fun to learn.
Yeah, and there's definitely a place for having your niche expert area, but similarly, and I love when people cross, you know, refer, you know, meaning, oh, so for example, you know, like I work with women entrepreneurs, healers and coaches, but if someone's stuck in their money mindset, limiting beliefs, I go, listen, you need to go and coach with that person. And when you're ready to rock and you're ready to shine, then you come back to me. So that's what I mean, like cross referring people. But at the same time, I hear what you're saying about, I love how you coach the coaches or you upskill the practitioners, because people are realizing there's some missing pieces of the puzzle in the way they were educated, possibly in the health industry.
Well, you look at, say, a naturopath will come out of college with a degree and about 75 hours of experience. A medical doctor probably comes out with 4,000 hours. A chiropractor will come out with about 2,000 hours, and a naturopath with 75 hours.
Right.
You can go get a yoga qualification for in you know, just a few weeks with almost no experience at all. But, I mean, some of my yoga teacher colleagues, they ran universities with 2 years master's degrees residential. So it's a 2-year full-time immersive qualification. That's the ideal way to learn yoga. But our society's not structured that way. So, again, we're structured to reductionist education. And that's really limited our society and limited our people's understanding of their own potential. I was very, very lucky. My mother was a preschool educator. She taught me epigenetics in 1960. I first started thinking about epigenetics in 1960.
Wow.
People like Bruce Lipton first started doing their scientific experiments in 1967 with an electron microscope. There was no word epigenetics, but that's what she was teaching me, the difference between nature and nurture. So nurture's a lot of the psychological, psychosocial side of it, and nature's the biological side of it. What separates human beings from the other species on the planet is this amazing mind we've got and this free will we've got. What also separates us, our ability to misuse our free will and misuse our mind until we're properly trained on how to use them wisely. And I was probably 40 before somebody actually sowed seeds in my mind how important wisdom is. Wisdom was an abstract process for me. I try to teach a lot of 20-year-olds I'm seeing and the 30-year-olds start to think about wisdom. If you don't start thinking about it, you won't become wise. You know, actions follow thoughts.
You mentioned Bruce Lipton. I know that you guys are really good friends. He's coming to Auckland in April. And so
he's been here for quite a while.
Oh, sorry. He's doing an event in mid-April.
Yeah, I think on the 19th at Waipuna Lodge. And Bruce is outstanding. I mean, Bruce doesn't just know the theory. Bruce did the actual experiments. Bruce was doing stem cell research going right back to the late 1960s. Removing the nucleus from cells and then experimenting. And now people would think the nucleus of the cell where the brain was and the cell would just die, but it's not. The nucleus is the reproductive system of the cell. The brain of the cell ties a lot into what we might call quantum entanglement. And this is, again, the Nobel Prize for 2022 for physics is quantum entanglement. Einstein talked about 1935. Quantum physics was referring to it. Jesus was referring to quantum entanglement. Buddha was referring to quantum entanglement thousands of years ago. They didn't use those words, but that's what they're referring to. So what Bruce was doing was taking the nucleus out of the cell. The cell didn't die. The cell just kept living until it needed to reproduce. So if we want a healthy reproductive system, whether it's a cellular reproductive system or a healthy biological system, in other words, our own children, grandchildren, the same rules apply. We need a healthy environment. Healthy nutrients and healthy attitudes and healthy beliefs, beliefs that are based on truth more than untruth and based on sort of mindfulness rather than mindlessness or monkey mind processes. And that takes some training and some discipline. And I know discipline might be a bit of a boring word, but without it, we're not going to get very far with life. And this is the thing that's often modern society is just so consumer focused and everything now, now, now. And, you know, I've been young in my life. I'm a lot older now and, you know, a gold card sort of guy. In my time, it was all about I wanted stuff in a hurry. Well, I found out the hard way that that's not the best way to get the things you most want in life. They take time to mature and to develop and build trust around and confidence around. So, health takes time to develop, and then you want to maintain it. So our new sort of buzzwords are sort of nourish, flourish, repeat. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't nourish health and well-being, it's not going to happen. And nourish at all levels, mentally, emotionally, physically, and then beyond that, what we might want to call spiritually. Because, you know, for millions of years, we've been trying to discover the meaning of life. Well, and that's an existential issue. It's a complex issue. But the bottom line is there's so much research into near-death experience and people who have died. I've got clients who've been dead for 45 minutes. I've got lots of clients who've been dead but are still alive now. So they've come back from the other side. We know they share the same experience, going through a tunnel of light and that type of experience that people have when they die. And then they come back and some of them alive many, many, many years later. I mean, imagine being dead for 45 minutes, clinically dead for 45 minutes. And one of my clients, that happened twice. So he came to us, he'd been sick for 20 years. It probably took us about 3 months for him to become so well. Now he's one of the healthiest people that I've ever dealt with. But he was one of these tough guy, mechanic type guys who, when I'm talking about some of what we're talking about today, he's going, until he started to put into practice. And now he's like, you know, a converted.
He's the biggest fan. I love it.
Yeah. And he tried to teach other people in his life, but he's still a petrol head. Working in that sort of environment, but this is a guy who had not so many life skills who now has developed some of these life skills and he's focused on the most important things. And let's face it, if you don't focus on the most important things, your whole life will be filled up with less important things. And then you wonder what happened. You know, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70. What happened to my life? Because I didn't focus on the most important things. I didn't receive the most important things. And I don't feel as loved as I want. I don't feel as respected. I don't feel as energetic. I don't feel as purposeful. And these are all the things that ideally we want to, you know, we know from our cancer work that Ian Gawler taught me a lot of stuff 20-odd years ago. He was helping people recover from terminal cancer. Purpose, nutrition, and meditation were the three things that helped every single person who'd been told you're going to die and was still alive. Now, that's where I start if somebody wants us to help them with a cancer diagnosis. Sure, there's plenty of good things that can help you, from the vitamin C's, the nutrition, to the juicing, to the ketogenics and all that other stuff. But if you ignore those three primary criteria, it's just throw the dice. And life, Einstein said, God doesn't play dice with the universe. And I agree. For whatever we want to define God as. But for me, God is not anything that's sort of humanized. It's more a harmonic that helps this universe stay in balance. And, you know, there's two ways of looking at the universe. It's either random or it's design. If it's design, it's incredibly mathematically precise because of the way water works and the way we keep seeing these repeat patterns or these fractals forming holograms. And not just holograms in shape, but holograms involving time. You know, this whole time-space paradigm that we've wrestled with scientifically. Einstein called time the fourth dimension, E equals mc squared, and this issue of relativity. So we've got most of the knowledge we would ever need to live highly successful lives and build highly successful communities and civilizations. We choose not to teach it effectively, and we choose not to study it effectively, and we've got to take responsibilities for those choices and then change the way we operate and start to build these frameworks from education, ecology, and healthcare, business models, and build those frameworks that lead to proper, healthy, sustainable civilization.
I agree, John. And I mean, you are like a fountain of knowledge. So there's so many interesting points that you've pointed out today. And I love how you say helping people build good quality lives and building a better world. I wanted to ask you two of my key questions that I ask all my guests. Number one is, what is one thing that you have done, achieved, or experienced in the past year where you truly upped your brave?
Well, probably with one of my children. I've got 8 children, and you can imagine you're getting a lot of stuff reflected back at you all the time about, you know, the world that you've helped them live in. And one of my kids was having a lot of problems for a long time. He's very, very bright and incredibly capable. Somebody born with too much and then had to try and learn how to use it, and having to sort of basically hold him accountable when there was a risk he could die young. So he's now, well, I'm crying thinking about it, but he's now gone on, he's having a baby in a few days.
Wow.
A really healthy marriage, but he wasn't even remotely capable of having a healthy relationship himself, let alone anybody else, and let alone parenting even in a half successful way. So I had to sort of stare him down a bit and run the risk that he could die. And it's not a very pleasant thing to have to do, but he's flourished so much in a year. Pretty much everyone on the planet had given up on this guy. Mm-hmm. And now most people look at him and think, wow, look at what's happened in 1 year. So an example, I got records of his blood a year ago, and then 6 weeks later, you know, we're talking somebody who's maybe lost 30 kilos, whose skin's gone from gray to beautiful color, whose hair shines, whose light eyes shine. So that's not an easy thing sometimes for parents to hold their children properly accountable. And most parents tend to want to take the easier route, which is not always in the child's best interest.
Well, I'm sure there's other parents out there listening that can relate to that. And it's also quite inspirational, reminding us all that you can turn things around. You know, we can, even if our health is really bad or our mindset is really bad or whatever it might be, you actually can turn things around. Sometimes you need someone to call you out, which is what you did.
Because these are the two things. I mean, the male thing, it tends to be the more the call out, and the female aspect tends to be more nurture. This young man that doesn't have a mother to help nurture him, so it's a difficult thing to call out and nurture at the same time. So calls for a bit more patience.
Playing both roles. That's awesome. All right. My second question is about, it's for my segment called Bucket List Busters, where we invite the members of the audience to email in with anything, one or two things on their bucket list, which is basically anything you want to do, be, or experience in your lifetime. What is one thing you've got on your bucket list?
Well, I had a hologram gallery about 35 years ago, and they were just pictures of cars and stuff like that. But we're entering a world where holograms are more real, like Star Trek had the holodeck, where you could just dial into an experience and immerse into it. I love this country, New Zealand. New Zealand's got some values that are rare in the world. It's got some nature that's rare in the world. And we make movies and stuff, but a lot of it's sort of low-level mindset that we're promoting out into the world. And I'm looking to hold an international holographic conference, for want of a better word, from New Zealand to give people an immersive experience of the best in New Zealand from a well-being perspective, like, you know, optimizing their experience. Because you think about it, we live in the South Seas and people dream of going to the South Seas, yeah. But you've got to fly a long way to get here, no matter where you come from or sail. But the new hologram technology was we can immerse using holographic technology into an experience that is out of mind-body perspective. You don't have to jump in an airplane and do it. And that's the problem. By traveling so much to experience these new experiences, we consume a lot of fossil fuels or electricity. Yep. So Star Trek was a futuristic series that's still going probably today, where they had imagined this holodeck where people could have the experience without having to buy petrol or electricity to experience it. And my big thing is that, you know, we really are so much more amazing than we realize we are. And the only way we become more amazing through our imagination, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think I'll have to team you up with our guest from last week, Rachel Gillespie. She is a photographer here in New Zealand and taking incredible photos. That could help. And also, if anyone else in our audience has anything that they can do or ideas to make John's bucket list dream of the holographic conference, immersive well-being, a reality, definitely get in touch. That would be amazing. Inbox at Reality Check Radio. So good. All right, John, hey, before we wrap things up, can you let me know how can people find you? How can they follow you? How can they get in touch if they want to come for an ozone therapy treatment or whatever?
Our website's www.globalhealthclinics.co.nz. We've got Facebook's pages and Instagram under the same name. Phone numbers, Auckland 488-0208. And we're open, you know, 5 days a week and then part-time on Saturday. And it's open for hours that are convenient for people.
Oh my goodness, you're very, very busy. That's amazing. I saw you on Instagram as well, and it was global.health.clinics, so people can look that up. Hey, before we wrap it up, is there anything else you want to share with our audience? Any final takeaway messages?
Well, just to trust yourself, back yourself, and live into the self you'd most want to be, because that's the only way you're actually going to experience the person you most want to be. If you need help with this, come and see us, because, you know, a lot of our people are very, very experienced, been doing this for decades and decades. I mean, you know, I've been thinking about this stuff for over 60 years, and so I'm really doing what I thought I would do back in about 1962. I'm living the life that I thought I would from back in 1962, because that's how life works. You know, you set the intention and then you either get very proactive towards that, or you allow through patience life to sort of form around that ideation. And it's that whole level of manifestation and co-creative manifestation. If people need help with it, I'm very happy for our team, you know, of experienced people to help. Or if you don't need help, really trust yourself, back yourself, because we're only going to grow a better world if we imagine a better world. We keep getting frustrated by problems. We've got no energy for the solutions. So I'm very solutions focused rather than, I'm not a problem solver, I'm a solution seeker. I go straight for what I'm most am looking for or desiring. And the problems are just a minor irritation on no matter how big they are.
That is such a great note to end on. I'm not a problem solver, I'm a solution seeker. Thank you so much, John Coombs, for joining us today on Reality Check Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Good luck with the show.
You've been listening to Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on RCR, Reality Check Radio.